must change my ways. Change my ways. Those evil. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down, to make them pay, and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't.
Welcome back. A confluence of forces, I would call it. Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, October 28th, 2019. And I think we're going to spend a portion, if not the entire week again, sort of talking around the subject of democratic socialism, sort of fleshing it out, how that contrasts to the American constitutional republican form of government and our what used to be American ideals, patently and perhaps uniquely American ideals, rugged individualism, our ability to stand on our own 2 feet. And, you know, when we choose to work together with one another. The local community was the impetus for things, education and so forth. You didn't have a centralized mechanism, and that's increasing. Democratic socialism says, well, the people have a voice. Sure, they have a voice, but it behaves more like the town hall forums and the city council meetings. If you've been to those, you know how difficult it is to speak out in opposition to anything. You have this council that behaves in usually a very draconian and sort of authoritarian fashion. You have the community has a very limited time to speak. Who's in charge here? You know, the community votes to have these people elected to guide and direct the community, but then suddenly they behave in a very authoritarian fashion. Usually is kind of how it feels. And you have the consensus building operations that go on. It just feels difficult to speak out in opposition. And you can see it. You watch the videos on YouTube and other platforms of folks showing up to say, I disagree with what's happening here. And you can, the animosity and what have you is almost palpable, even just watching a video. Where did this come from? Because this is a society, as I understand it, that is rooted in the celebration of and championing of the underdog, so to speak. And history tells us, if not our own history, that oftentimes it's good to listen to that voice that is courageous enough to stand apart from the herd, so to speak. We've been inculcated into a mindset that would have us believe otherwise. And that's interesting, because those who study group psychology know that it's easier to manipulate people en masse than it is individually, and obviously more cost effective. If you can do that, you can weld together these groups of people. Propaganda becomes less expensive if you only have to create one variety of it, or two or three. A handful of variations, rather than individually personalized propaganda. Oh, but don't worry about that, because, like I said, Google, in its study of Lamarckian epigenetics, will have its selfish ledger tell you what you think and what you want individually. I digress. Anyway, we're talking about the term democratic socialism. We'll get into it this week a little bit more. I want to get into the subject of the Libyan brand, which is, to me, synonymous with Fabian socialism. Gaddafi's Libya was in bed with the London School of Economics and Fabian socialists. That we'll talk about throughout this week. So it's ironic that I keep hearing about the Libyan brand of socialism. Sure, it's nice that people get some tchotchkes, but you know what? It's like whiskey and beads buying the folks who were here first off. Is that what they wanted? Are they the same as a result? Are they better off for it? What do the folks in Libya own? Do they own their own property? Do they own their own business? Do they own the means of production in Marxist terms? Can we define terms in an honest fashion? That's kind of what we'll get to this week. So I mentioned Reagan. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. The Rees Committee uncovering the fact that there is a cabal that would seek to destroy the concept of rugged individualism. And we've seen it in a variety of things, whether you want to talk about the Dusseldorf rules, the protocols, whatever, you know, communist rules, that kind of stuff. It's hard to argue looking at pop culture, movies, music, television, that there isn't an erosion and a moral decline that has been occurring for generations now in America. So the Rees Committee uncovered the reality of this conspiracy. But what does it mean? Before we talk about all of that, it seems like we have to really sort of establish what do we mean? What did, you know, this Reagan says, whether we abandon the American Revolution, what did that mean? What did the American Revolution mean? John Adams told us in his 1818 letter to Hezekiah Niles, and to further flesh that out, I always point to his letter, his series of letters over the summer and fall to William Tudor, particularly focusing on James Otis, who John Adams and many historians consider John Adams one of the seven most influential founding fathers. John Adams himself pointed to James Otis as the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. So when we're defining terms, it seems this is important. Yet you fast forward to today and people are confused. At least some folks would like to believe that we are, you know, which is why I thought it was ironic and I mentioned Lawrence Wittner's article, Counterpunch article, that was published the day after Renee and I had our conversation about democratic socialism, Thursday, October 10th. Lawrence Wittner's piece titled, "Why Are Americans So Confused About the Meaning of Democratic Socialism?" Because they're supposed to be. It's supposed to mean different things to different people. But it's a handout and, you know, the delicious gifts of socialism and life is going to be great. You just don't need to take care of yourself. Leave the government, leave the management, leave everything to the experts, the technocrats. Lawrence Wittner concludes his piece, "More recently, of course, the disappearance of the Soviet Union and most other communist nations That's interesting. Rising economic inequality, the attractive model of Scandinavian democratic socialism. Well, we've debunked that myth a few times, but probably come back to that again. And Bernie Sanders' Americanization of socialism, quote unquote, have enhanced the popularity of socialism in its democratic socialist form in the United States. It's probably premature to predict that most Americans will finally recognize the democratic socialist nature of many programs they admire, but that's certainly a possibility. And again, that's a misnomer. It's dishonest to make that statement. Do you like parks? Well, then you're a socialist. No. There is a distinction. There are actually several distinctions, and there are nuances. You know, who decides is one of the biggest questions. It's perhaps the biggest question. Who decides? Which is why I really stick on that clip of Ronald Reagan from 1964. That is about the best way you can articulate it. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government. Because like he said, this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except to sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And it's difficult because we're already far advanced. We're in the advanced stages of socialism. When we played the Anthony Sutton lecture from 1976, he says, America is socialist. We were socialist in the 30s, for Pete's sake. There's a difference between imposing something on people, that's socialism, and people deciding of their own free will, truly of their own volition. Hey, you know what? Let's do this. This would be a good idea. And that is the distinction that Hayek gets to in The Road to Serfdom. The imposition of a coercive spiritual power from on high somewhere. That's what socialism represents. You do not choose for yourself. You may be propagandized, induced to believe that this was your idea, perhaps your idea all along in Rand Corporation game theory fashion, but it was not. Honestly, step back, look around, and ask, you know, who among us decided this was a good idea? And people will say, well, you know, but we have this thing. We have this park, or we have this community service or whatever. Great. You still didn't decide. And furthermore, there are always layers of graft and corruption and greed. Speaking of the Scandinavian model of socialism, and the Libyan model is no different. Everyone is equal except for the special people. The special people are special, and they get special privileges and things, and they get to have, you know, opulent things that others don't. And as long as you go along with the program, that's great. You know, that was the Fabian Society was, I would argue, entirely. Maybe I'll just leave it at largely responsible for the introduction of the socialist model into the Middle East and into Africa and beyond. Here in America. Including Iraq, including Libya. And everything is great as long as you're a friend of the establishment, which is why you can still find pictures of Saddam Hussein shaking hands with Rummy, Donald Rumsfeld. Gaddafi, same thing. He was a buddy, a frenemy. Until I believe, you know, what punctuated the end of his reign was that 9/11 truth speech, September 23rd, 2009. UN General Assembly address, supposed to last 10 minutes. It lasted more than 100. calling for, you know, a reinvestigation of the death of Kennedy. I think he even, you know, oh gosh, what's his name? I always forget his name. Anyway, reinvestigation of September 11 and so many other things. Shocking. And then suddenly Libya is talking about privatizing things that have been nationalized since, well, he stepped in 1969. In the early 70s, everything that got nationalized supposedly was going to be privatized. That was 2010, then suddenly by 2011, well, everything returned to normal. Fabian, Tony Blair visited Libya, make sure everything was okay. Back to business as usual. I want to get to all of that this week, but we need to decide for ourselves, I think, in America. It's high time we start having a conversation. We start looking into these things for ourselves and deciding for ourselves here in America, not some think tank, policy institute, establishment rhetoric being fed to us. Maybe we have conversations at a local level. Is it really possible that we could believe that everyone, 320 million people, are all in every town, hamlet, city, rural and suburban area across the country? We're all made to think exactly alike. We should be just be welded together in hive mind fashion? Or is life different in certain of the several states? Our economies different? There are control mechanisms that have been introduced to cripple us, to weaken and cripple us, and that's what the social programs represent. The more, I mean, how many people grow their own food and are self-sufficient these days? It's a crazy notion. But that's precisely what these Fabian Society architects were saying. We need people to cede some sovereignty, in the words of Richard N. Hosh. Remember that? The Sovereignty and Globalization. That was his piece back in 2006. Richard N. Hosh, CFR, Council on Foreign Relations President. We need nations and people to cede some sovereignty. In other words, control. You give control over to someone else, and it's a benevolent dictator, hopefully, who has specific plans. But the more you get into it, kind of like William and Montana and I talked about last week, the more you dive down this rabbit hole, the more you realize that if you're not someone who will put your shoulder to the wheel of progress, then the more you have to go away. That's where eugenics comes in. Only, you know, good stock need to talk about progeny. Only the good stock, you know, the folks who are in line with whatever the edict or the order of the day is from folks like George Bernard Shaw. The rest of us are supposed to justify our existence. Again, it's not, I'm not talking about class warfare. I'm talking about an ideological battle that has been fomented. And class warfare is included in that battle, which, again, folks like Nesta Webster wrote about. Hopefully that makes sense. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. When I think of ISIS and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, I think of Aaron Russo talking about his conversation with Nick Rockefeller, saying, you know, something's going to happen. This was before September 11, 2001. Something's going to happen. We're going to be looking for guys in caves, and it's going to be crazy. You won't believe it. And I also think of, I think it was June 28, 2001. About 3 months before September 11, when Bill Cooper, one William Milton Bill Cooper, said, you know, he talked about the intelligence community looking for Osama bin Laden and they can't find him. And some stupid doofus jerk-off reporter with a camera crew caught up with him in a cave and interviewed him. And then you see these videos from a few years ago, you know, we forget about this guy, Baghdadi, dead or alive, exploring the last known Iraqi hideout of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Never mind the fact that ISIS is a creation of Saudi Arabia. Only Saudi Arabia beheads more people than ISIS, as I understand it, which is interesting. The ideology, Wahhabism and Salafism, the ideology for ISIS come from Saudi Arabia, that Wahhabi brand of so-called Islam. The flag, for Pete's sake, is the same flag. You know, the black flag of jihad looks a lot like the Saudi flag, does it not? You know, CBS this morning, ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi appears alive and well in new video. CNN, ISIS leader al-Baghdadi releases rare audio message. You know, when it's time, when it's the appointed time, this person shows up. Some video is leaked, and it's been proven time and time again. Who was the last person that exposed the fact that these videos come through proxies, essentially CIA and intelligence partner proxies? The videos and the audio clips, they always come from, essentially from Langley or from Cheltenham or, you know, come from the CIA, MI6, whatever. It's ridiculous. So that's why I don't talk about it. Anyway, let's go to the phones. I want to try to stay sort of on topic, even though I'm not, admittedly. But let's go to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Sometimes it takes a second to get me up on the board or whatever. But, they're running these Freedom from Religion commercials. I don't know if you'd heard anything about that. And as you were talking about socialism earlier, and I've kind of been distracted this morning, but I went to a different area of my building, and the Christian radio was on, and they were doing the same thing. They said the IGN recently was surveyed to be something like 74% in favor of socialism and 30% in favor of communism. I think we have to do, in reference to this last story, though, if I could connect the two subjects together, the social engineering that's going on. I, in the process this morning, I was trying to do some screenshots of the search results on Google versus Bing versus Startpage and several search engines for the phrase, how many times has al-Baghdadi, ISIS leader, been killed, in quotes or without quotes.
Yeah.
And, of course, Google is burying that, even if you don't search the news.
Google's worthless at this point.
It comes up at the very top of the Bing results. Because there was an IB Times, International Business Times, like you said, back in 2017, I think in June, and I think the Russians had announced that they were investigating whether they had killed him in May.
Yep.
And lo and behold, boom, first result on Bing is how many times has ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi been killed? I didn't know that that article existed. I just typed that phrase in as a test because I've experienced this social engineering. And as I've heard being said recently after Zach Voorhees exposed himself with his documents, Google has lost its goo. And so their social engineering, this next iGen and what do you call them, the millennials, who think socialism is this great, big, wonderful sweet cake or something that's going to solve all
it's
these
Santa
problems.
Claus. Socialism is Santa Claus, and everyone's going to get gifts. Yay, it's Christmas every day.
Dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, this check is wrong. I worked a holiday and 7 hours of overtime. Not getting paid correctly is a real pain. It could also hurt our boss if our company provides out-of-compliance checks. That's right. Construction companies doing business with the government can get fined, or officials of the companies can go to jail if the checks aren't right. It's a law. The Davis-Bacon Act has 30 compliance issues for every check, but there is an easy way for construction companies to be in compliance. EMARS offers Compliant Client, a web-based system that finds and corrects all 30 of the possible out-of-compliance check issues. Users of Compliant Client report an 80% savings in time and money. Running a weekly payroll usually takes about 5 minutes. All 15,000 plus clients of EMARS have never had a legal compliance issue. Plus, they sleep better on check day. Contact EMARS at emarsinc.com or call 480-595-0466.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, October 28th, 2019. And we used to know in this country, you know, you think of pieces like Benedict LaRose's Democracy or Republic, which is it? We used to know. And now, like you said, Mike, millennials are being propagandized to believe that socialism is like Santa Claus. You'll get everything you want and more. Never mind the fact that there is no such thing as a free lunch. And like Hayek pointed out, the roots of socialism are frankly authoritarian and dictatorial. You know, like he said, the French writers who laid the foundation of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. And that's precisely what we're talking about. Anyway.
This morning, the news said a Kentucky native led the raid on to kill that guy, whatever his name is. I guess he's got some aliases. But, he's from the Joint Special Operations Command, and that immediately, of course, brought to my mind the Joint Special Operations University blog, an information warfare manual that got leaked out a few years ago. I don't know if you looked at that at all, but it goes into all the different, you know, social engineering or downranking, de-boosting techniques that can be done to shift stuff around. I mean, it's beyond what Google, you know, probably does, but they just simply, doctor what you see, engineered, you know, information ceases to be information, I think is the adage from an old video that you can look up called The Network. And this is, I think it was a graduate student in communications that did this animation of The Network, and it just shows from the beginning of the smartphone era how the everything that you're experiencing from those devices is being filtered and engineered, initially tailored to you. So it sounds like, oh, great, you know, this is going to give me what I want. But it has been flipped. You know, I think 12160 years ago, the website had a meme out that showed a computer with a keyboard in front of it, and it said, this device kills tyrants. Well, after the Zach Voorhees thing, I redid that meme, and I marked out the word kills, and I changed it to, with red marks, you know, changed it to, this fly trap is the tyrant's rope, so you can have enough rope to hang yourself. And, of course, Facebook banned the word hang because it suggested suicide. So I had to fix that and mark out the word hang and put in hog tie. And I'm surprised they let that go through, but they did. So, I mean, you can't even express a concept like that anymore on social media. They're social engineering things so tightly towards the snowflakes that, I guess, scream the loudest, or the generation that dealt with game theory from playing games, you know, these adventure games or whatever, Dungeons and Dragons, where your online character is adjusted based on hit points and whatever their character assessment is of you. And so they're adjusting everything toward the goals that they want. And as the Google whistleblower showed, I guess you've got more than one list of blacklisted web pages that shows it's really out of balance to ban conservatives.
Yeah. And people who don't understand the concept of game theory, before you dive into game theory, I would even encourage folks to back up and read about the Skinner box, B.F. Skinner's operant conditioning and Norbert Wiener's cybernetics, and, you know, the idea that if we can launch a missile from here and have it land over there and know when we can launch it and when it will land, I wonder if we could do that with people, control a person, you know, going from here to there and know when they're going to arrive there ideologically, metaphorically.
Turn them into a weapon or a tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As the expression goes, quote, tool. You're a tool for the military-industrial complex, some might say, if you're not into this social justice warrior camp. Well, you're just a tool for the one percenters. They've lost the concepts of the, and that's what I was getting at with this Freedom from Religion Foundation commercial I saw just the other day, and I was like, what is this doing on, how can they afford to buy this commercial? And it was like on a primetime network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were trying to assure that our government is governed by the laws of reason and that religion has no place, you know, and of course in the background they're flashing up founding documents like the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. And that's what they were talking about on the Christian radio. I was just listening to, coincidentally enough, at the same time you're talking about it, I walked to another part of the building and they're talking about socialism and the founding concepts of individual rights are to be phased out in favor of collectivism, you know, or some kind of group rights, group power. The individual is no longer outmoded and outdated. They tried to do that in Kentucky 50 years ago. I read a transcript of a radio interview where they were trying to get a referendum going in Kentucky to redo the Constitution. They said, and this is the fourth Kentucky Constitution, they said contained rhetorical flourishes from the Enlightenment period that no longer applied to our modern age. And I think that you had something similar to that concept, that the notion of unalienable, God-given individual rights has to be done away with. I think you made some quote that referenced that earlier. So, I mean, this is a concerted effort. If you don't want to call it conspiracy, it's a consensus. A third way, communitarianism, whatever you want to call it, it's a consensus among those who are working toward this goal across decades.
And again, that goes right back to the Libyan brand of socialism, but we'll talk more about that coming up.
Well,
this
I wanted
week.
To mention that you need to interview Jim and Joanne Moriarty, if you can, as far as Libya goes. I think there's a lot more to know about that. The reason they loved that guy so much was because Libya had never been independent until the Italians pulled out in the late 60s.
Right.
And Gaddafi almost immediately put in all these social reforms to give people college tuition up to the to their ability.
It was a patently Fabian brand of socialism that was introduced immediately.
Oh, yeah, and so many perks and stuff. The population just loved it. You know, they got paid to get married, basically. They got $10,000 toward their first car. All the gasoline was subsidized. With all the oil and gas revenues, they were able to afford this, of course. And in this country with the population of Kentucky, basically, whereas Kentucky takes those oil and gas revenues and it just vanishes into the general fund, and we're running a budget that's two point eight times what the tax revenue is. So that makes Kentucky this vassal state to the federal debt program, and nobody wants to rein in the spending at the federal or state level. And our pensions are all screwed up, and so you know eventually I think it's got to blow up to pay for all this socialism.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you go, man.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, as always. Much appreciated. Yeah, I hope to dive into that more this week, you know, especially the Libya connection. But for now, back to the phones. Harvey in Florida, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Afternoon, Harvey.
Good afternoon, sir. This morning I was in an office, and there was a copy of the AP story. The local paper picked up the AP story from yesterday, and now I just pulled it up online about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's capture. And then there was just a headline, and it wasn't my newspaper. It was somebody there. I said, "Is that your newspaper, sir?" He goes, "Yeah, you want to read it?" I said, "Yeah, could I look at that headline, please?" So he had already gone past that. I don't know, he wasn't too interested in the headline. But I read the first paragraph of that AP story, and that was the greatest piece of propaganda I've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
I'll bet. Yeah.
It was like it was written by the CIA and the White House.
Probably because it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it obviously was. And I said to the gentleman when I was done reading, I said, "Boy, that's some load of crap, some load of propaganda there." And he looked at me like startled. And then he said, "Yeah, I told him how I was trained to hate the Russians because of all their propaganda when I was young." And he says, "Yeah, I don't like propaganda either." So, you know, you try to talk to people about it, the average person, who knows if it goes over their head or if they even understand what's really going on here.
Yeah.
This looked like somebody in the White House came up with a brilliant idea to take some heat off of Trump and make him look presidential. What do you think about that, Chris?
You know, it's interesting, the perpetual conflict that is the Trump White House. I think that's possible, and I think that, you know, with the story about bin Laden, you know, and now this story, I think we're sort of transitioning into the next phase of the invisible boogeyman. And, you know, like Mike in Kentucky was talking about, millennials really aren't concerned with Baghdadi or bin Laden. And so, you know, it's time to have the invisible boogeyman retreat further into the shadows so that we can ratchet up the national security establishment even further. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of what it amounts to, you know, just fomenting two sides of a conflict even further. You know, trying to make
just
Trump,
told us.
Trying to make the Trump White House seem more credible, while at the same time, you know, you have the impeachment discussion going on, and basically that's just fomenting two sides of a very controversial sort of turmoil.
The day before, he said he defeated ISIS. There's no need for us to be in Syria anymore, but yet we're going to stay there to steal the oil. He's contradicting himself. We're going to stay there and steal the oil. They somehow we got a hold of the oil for our friends, for his friends, not my friends.
Right.
My friends didn't get any oil. But we got the oil, but we're not going to be there anymore. But now they just flew across the whole country. Here's the helicopter flew low and fast into the night, ferrying U.S. troops, special forces, to a compound. It's always a compound where Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was hiding in Syria. He was hiding in Syria.
Right. And, you know, speaking of the – I mean, it's – you know, like you say, it's laughable. And speaking of the oil, it's interesting listening to even Lindsey Graham, you know, at the White House press briefing. I think it was yesterday, you know, this big – speech, this big statement that Trump was going to make. And Lindsey Graham speaking after that, he was the one who said, you know, it's good for us. I mean, he kept reiterating. I was thinking about playing those clips, reiterating the interest of capturing and protecting the oil in the area. It's just, it's fascinating. Speaking of the resource hungry folks, and the more you go
but
back,
we don't need
the
oil. But we don't need the oil. We're energy independent, U.S.
Right.
So we don't need the oil. And what about all the oil we got from Iraq? How is that being? Where is that going? All the oil we stole in Iraq and in Libya had the cleanest oil in the world, the purest.
Right.
Where's all that?
The logical
Where's
fallacies
all the oil?
Are. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we have an 8-second memory. So we aren't concerned with that. And now, same thing, you know, the logical fallacies in addressing, you know, Lindsey Graham, for example, saying, among others, that ISIS was allowed to persist because of the sale of oil. Well, who's buying it? And by what mechanism? You know, so we can impose crippling sanctions on Iran, but we can't stop the sale of oil by ISIS. That's astonishing to me. You know, the logical fallacies are astonishing.
Well, because us and our partner, which was Turkey, they were the ones stealing the oil from Syria. So I don't know what percentage we got. I didn't get any of it. I'm sure of that. But this is it's just unbelievable. The craziest nonsensical crap they get away with, and they straight face. So that's why luckily we have the airways and your network and your program to speak about these unconscionable, unmentionable, unconscionable headlines and stories and propaganda and lies and filthy lies. It's unbelievable. And I don't go for it one bit. That's why I was forced to call. I usually don't call, especially if I try to stay on topic with you. I don't like to throw you off what you're working on, but today I just couldn't help myself. This is more than I could bear. And, you know, you brought up Wesley Clark, you know, have you heard anything from him since that recording that he made, the one that you play all the time? Wonder what happened to Wesley Clark? You shut up.
There were some interesting moments, I think 2014, 15. I think you and I actually had this conversation. Maybe it's just deja vu, but I want to say 2014-15, he was saying some really more, you know, shocking and incendiary things, and then since then it's been pretty quiet. But yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder if you can get a hold of him and have him come on your program for you. That would be something. I'd love to talk with him.
That would be fun. That would definitely be fun.
Because he was like horrified. He didn't say that he did anything about it, but when he was walking through the Pentagon hearing these stories about how we're going to invade this country and that country, it all didn't go so smooth. It hasn't been 5 years, but they never give up, and these plans are still working and still going and still grinding. Yemen, Libya is still floating around. There's still all kinds of chaos.
Iraq, Syria. Yep, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan. Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Yep. And none of it's for us. None of it's for you or for me, my friend.
Nope.
That's the crime. Yep. And how dare they do that in my name? I wish them all into the hell that they belong in. And I'll let somebody else call in. Thank you for being there, Chris. I appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Harvey. Much appreciated, as always. Back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, William.
I think it's really good the way you started off the program with, you know, talking about putting the cart before the horse. This is one of the best ways to foment continuous confusion and support continuous foreign wars. The oil is just the pretense. Democracy is just a pretense. But if you can put the cart before the horse, even though people, when they start digging into this, say, is the cart before the horse? I mean, that's already the beginning of throwing you off and fomenting this confusion. When you talk about, the Soviets in Afghanistan, they were there for 9 years. And the usual rap is that, well, the commies went to extend their control, take over the world. So they went into Afghanistan, and then the locals all banded together and started the Mujahideen. And then this guerrilla war against the Soviet army, the United States came in, to rescue freedom fighters. I mean, that's what we do,
freedom fighters anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but if you, when you start going in and looking at the Afghan war, this spans at least 100 years. I mean, you need to at least look at about 100 years, because back in 1919, the Russians, started putting in resources to Afghanistan, and the reason for that, supporting the Afghan government of the time, they knew that the British has always had designs on this area. When you actually dig deeper into the whole Afghan war, I mean, Britain during the 19th century fought, two wars, in Afghanistan. And the reason that they did it was they said they were afraid that the Tsarist Russia had designs on India. Now, when Russia has designs on, the Middle East and the Far East, that's, trying to take over the world. But when the British, created an empire upon which the sun never set, that was taking democracy and progress, to these natives. And so it's interesting that when you the historians refer to this period when it was during over the whole course of the 19th century, when the first Anglo-Afghan war, and then there's the second Anglo war, And the first one started in 1839, and then there was another rendition called the Second Anglo-Afghan War, which was in 1897. That was the second one. The first one was 1839. And when you get in and start looking at this Afghan, why are you fighting over all these rocks and these rural? I mean, you can't win a war in Afghan, because what do you win? I mean, there are all these, you know. So why did England go in there, you know, twice? Mm-hmm. Well, they went in there because they knew, the historians refer to this as the Great Game. This game has been going on for a long time. And if you actually dig deeper into the histories, you'll find that the formation of present-day India, China, Saudi Arabia, Israel, the Russian Federation, and this very mobile and dynamic, you know, form of extreme religious vigor or religious terrorism, known as, I mean, you can put many labels on it, it's like Salafi jihadism.
Yep.
And this was a new variant, because one of the nice things about this variant is that it's hard to track down. It's hard to point, you know, who did what when. And so it can morph into anything that intelligence agencies and countries need it to be, you know. And so this is, you know, like you say, rinse and repeat. And if you dig into this and you see what's happening now, and with our war in Afghanistan, you start seeing how this is really, I mean, it's very interesting when you see during these wars, that when Russia got in there, and then America, not too many years later, got in there, it was interesting, all of the rearrangements all around the world. I mean, at one time,
right, exactly.
You know, when the Russians were in there, you know, the Americans and the Chinese were on the same side.
Yep.
You know, and now, you know, that kind of is a reversal. And, you know, Russia and China were at each other's throats, and that was wonderful. As far as the American intelligence agencies thought, I mean, well, how better in the Cold War? What better thing can you do is but to sic Russia and China together? And now look what has happened. It's complete reversal. You know, they're starting to be best of friends, or at least they're not fighting. And so this whole, when you start looking at this whole thing, you know, like, here's this out-of-the-way place, mountainous Afghan, and it's a pivot.
Exactly.
It is a way in which these people can line up and sick people against each other and keep this whole thing constantly inflamed.
Yep.
And I recommend people, I mean, when I dug into this decades ago, I had to have a box with 3x5 cards to even know who the players were. And I had lots of places where I had magic markers going through what I had on the card originally, and on the back, I had the new rendition. And so it's maddening, but you can see this. If wherever you tie into this, you can see this whole thing being replayed over and over again.
Social media and the use of absolutely. The thank you, William. The primary
source of thank you.
Appreciate it. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
And also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.